Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's so good to see the Stumps here. Good to see Mike and Celeste. God bless you. Good to have you here today. All of our guests who are here. Now, if you are a first-time guest or this is your first time in a long time, I want you to raise your hand. Brother Daquan's going to give you a packet of material. Please take that packet of material, if you would, as our gift to you and read about our church and then fill out that card and place it on the offering plate. Let's give our guests a round of applause. Amen. As we've been talking about revival, it's so important that each one of us, as a component part of what God wants to do, each one of us needs to give ourselves. We need to give ourselves completely. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a lot going on. And we need to each be in the place where God would have us to be. We need to pray and seek His face and ask God to tell us where He'd have us be, what He'd have us do. And we need to do it. Go the right direction. Go the right direction with the right people for the right reasons and serve the Lord together with gladness and with joy. But we need to have an old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival. Amen. Before we proceed with any further announcements, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for the great unity of the Spirit and your cooperation, faithfulness, and loyalty as we've come through a process which you'll see today come to full fruition. The Lord has told us in His Word that we are supposed to pass the truth along and we are supposed to be part of training the next generation to be all that God would have them to be. Over in 2 Timothy and in chapter number 2, it says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, the future of our church is already here now in that we are the past and we are the present. We'll be part of the future. But these boys and girls who are down here, I want you to see them today. Boys and girls, I want you to wave at the crowd. Wave at the crowd. Boys and girls. All right. We have boys and girls down here. We have boys and girls throughout the auditorium and throughout the building, and praise God for them. And we know that the church only takes one generation to die if we don't train up a child in the way he should go. We also know that as the Apostle Paul had his Timothy and had his Titus and had his Silas, likewise as Moses had his Joshua, as Jesus had his disciples, we need to mentor, we need to train folks up. And so we have come not to the end of the journey, but in the process to the point now, as you can see it coming to fruition. God has blessed us here at Central Baptist Church with the past, the present, and into the future as well. Today we are officially and publicly recognizing the call of this church by unanimous vote to Brother Tyler Candy to become immediately the associate pastor of our church. You voted, and you voted unanimously. There was not a single contrary vote. Included in that vote was the motion that this man, Tyler Candy, would, in the event of my death, disability, or departure, automatically become the senior pastor of this church. I was talking this week with a dear friend who has been in the pastorate also about as many decades as I have. And I said, "Can you think of anything that's closer to the Great Tribulation or hell and purgatory than a pastoral search committee?" Now, we had a wonderful pastoral search committee here, the last two pastors, myself and my predecessor. The founding pastor didn't have to have a pastoral search committee, but there was not someone to step up and take the mantle at that time. So a pastoral search was done, and there were pastorates that followed. Our pastorate is still in progress. And praise the Lord. But as I read my Bible, it is my responsibility, duty, and my high and holy privilege to train up the next generation. And so we have the Bible Institute. And through the years, I have mentored a number of folks. And praise God for all the good pastors. Right now, some of them are viewing, and some will be viewing in the near future because they've got their own services in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. So Eastern Daylight Time Zone as well. So I understand that, but we have all across the country those Timothys that we've mentored, and they're serving the Lord faithfully, and each and every one of them is an old time, old past, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing KJV Baptist. Amen. No compromise. I've already told them. I'll come back from the grave and haunt you if you do anything else. Amen. I say it again. All right. So we are glad today to recognize Brother Tyler Candy. I would like Brother Tyler and his family to step up here. Can we make an adjustment on that camera so it sees me? All right. Very good. All right. Well, we've had an addition, as you can see. All right. We have Klaus, and we have Logan, and we have Jay Edward, along with Dad and Mom. And these folks are like family to us as well, and I'm sure to many of you. For 7 years, that's the number of perfection. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're still working on the perfection part, but 7 years been mentoring, and it has come time to officially acknowledge you have by your vote, and now we want to set apart in a special dedication, a special time together, these dear folks for the ministry which lies ahead of them. I'm going to ask our deacons to come. Deacons, would you come at this time, please? All right. We have Brother Tony. Can you make it this far? Give him his transportation there. Help him up. All right. And, of course, this is Grandpa, Brother Mark Candy, our deacon, Brother Brian Little, our deacon, and our head chairman, deacon, Brother Tony Ortiz. Brother Neil Tellier is unable to be here today, and several of our deacons are out a distance. But these are men who are going to lay hands on Brother Tyler just now and pray a dedicatory prayer as he officially steps into the position of associate pastor. That means he's serving the Lord, and by extension, he's serving you, but he works for me. All right, so you understand that. I hope you understand that. We're going to begin to work through this journey a little bit further as we go. And as we do, we covet your prayers. So I would ask, first of all, the church that has already voted unanimously to call this man and, of course, family with him to be associate pastor. How many of you will pray for them every day? Raise your hand. As God brings them to your mind, you'll pray for them every day. Amen. We need you to do that. Pray that they'll be filled with the Spirit, directed and guided by the Spirit. We'll do nothing just because of our human opportunities, but because God opens doors, closes doors, and God guides and direct. And, of course, you continue to pray for First Lady Gwendolyn and Preacher. And we're going to pray right now in a public manner, and you online can join us, and you here in the auditorium can join us as we pray. And so I'm going to ask our deacons to gather around. If you would, gather around. Gather around, gather around, gather around. And Brother Tony, would you pray briefly for God to bless Brother Tyler and family as they proceed now as associate pastor and family?
Heavenly Father, we come to you with special prayer requests with the Candy family. Lord, we ask you to be with them. Praise them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Have them do your job the way you want it to be done. In Jesus' name we pray.
Brother Brian, would you pray also, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the precious blood that he shed on the cross for us, Lord. I know that Tyler is very dedicated to serving you, and I pray for him and the family and the boys as the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs them. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and ask these things. Amen.
Brother Mark, I know that you are dad. You have very special interest. Would you pray if you can?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray and thank you so much for Tyler and all that he's gone through and where he is right now. Lord, I just pray that you please continue to use him and keep him focused on you and not get distracted by anything else in this world, Lord. But he's dedicated his life and his desire to you, Lord. I just pray that you please continue to help him to focus on you and share your gospel to those around him and help his family to continue to support him in that endeavor, Lord, and just guide them all through your plan. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Tyler, Carissa, Klaus, Logan, Jay Edward, all those who have to do with them and all those who are in their extended circle of family and friends' influence in the church and brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I think of the scripture. There was a man sent from God. His name was John in the Bible. I pray now there was a man sent from God. His name is Tyler. I pray that you might have your hand upon him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Anoint him for this special service. And raise up many more to come behind him as he mentors and as he continues. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Amen. God bless you. Hey, guys, God bless you. Amen. All right, guys. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. 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 Brother Tyler. You report to work on Monday, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, amen. Let's give him a round of applause, amen? Praise God. All right, do you have anything to say?
Yes, well, I wanted to say thank you to everybody. I know that this has been a unique process, and it's unique for me. I've never gone through this before, obviously. But it's been great to see everybody just work together. The unity in our church, the love in our church,
yes.
And with my wife going through pregnancy and now birth and everything, everybody's shown us some gratitude and abundance amounts of love. And it's so very grateful to us. We're very grateful to you, and we're thankful for having such a wonderful, loving church family.
Amen. Let's give man. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise God. I would like to just start preaching, but we have to do a little business here first. Thank you for coming today to Central Baptist Church. Thank you to those who are viewing. We're always open to answering any questions that you might have. And this has been a great process. And many, many, many churches and pastors across this country are watching this process because they agree with me that there's nothing in the Bible about the traditional process of seeking a pastor, just praising and praying and asking and seeking, and God frequently does bring the right man. Sometimes we don't know. We have no idea because there are no words of guidance in the Bible specifically about the process. But the Bible does teach us to mentor, and that's what we have done, and praise the Lord. All right. If the boys and girls want to go now, I know they've got an exciting time with Mr. Tony in Junior Church. Amen. All right, kids, have a great time. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to come at this time. And we have flyers for the upcoming Ladies and Girls Spring Tea. It's called a Joyful Bouquet. You can take as many of these as you want. Also, we have sign-up boards. All of the ladies and girls that are hoping to come, I want you to sign up. And so we'll send these boards down each section. Thank you so much. Here we go. Here we go. Thank you. And sign up. Thank you. That's coming up on the 27th. The 27th of April, just a few weeks out. Now, in a couple of weeks, we have our extravaganza, our youth extravaganza, and we have information available for you if you'd like to serve and help in that. We are looking forward to that taking place on the 20th of April. Had a great meeting today. Brother Tyler ran that meeting, and a large number of folks who will be working in the ministry on the 20th were present today. If you missed your time, I trust that you'll catch up, and we are going to give you all the information that you need in order for us to be successful at this. I keep losing this microphone. I need to prop this up just a second. Let's see how this works. That's better. How's that? Am I good? Good. All right. Great. Fantastic. All right. We have flyers available. And we will have youth flyers available. Likewise, we have offering envelopes. Good to see Gabe here and Quinn. Amen. Good to see you today. And back at half on the job, right? Halftime. All right. So if you'd like to help out Jude 22, you can still do that. We have the Briones offering as we pay their rent. And we hear good things about their ministry as well. Praise the Lord. And we have... this week, don't forget, service tonight at 6:30. Wednesday night, we have Bible study through the book of Romans at 7:30. And don't miss next Saturday at 9 a.m. cleaning. 10 o'clock, we're going to go out. We have 400 door hangers to put on these doors in the area and witness to people. There were souls saved this past week, and we're going to continue to seek to win souls to Jesus Christ as often as we have opportunity. We've just completed our Fill America, Fill Virginia, Fill the World with the gospel, with tracts and door hangers, and turn that information in so that Brother Candy can pass that along to the folks who need to know the numbers on our last 15 days of service for the Lord. Now, in your bulletin, you'll see on the front a beautiful picture. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And how many of you are familiar with the doxology? Praise God. All right, you know how it goes? From whom all blessings flow. I remember as a child hearing the words, and I got a little confused because those words were written by Thomas Ken several centuries ago. And most people only know that song because it's sung frequently in churches, and they almost get to the point where they sing it so repeatedly that it tends to lose its meaning. But I want you to think about the man himself who wrote that. He wrote this hymn in days when most church music was only scripture. There were no other songs that were written outside of scriptural words. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Thomas Ken was also a great preacher, a theologian, a Bible believer. And when James II, not James I, who was instrumental in our getting our Bible, but James II was trying to restore Catholicism as the national religion so that persecution would come upon Bible believers and Baptists like we are, at that time Thomas Ken stood up against that. And he was thrown into the Tower of London in prison. But he is the writer of Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. A tremendous, tremendous testimony. The man was willing to suffer for the Lord. You see on the front of the bulletin also a picture of those falls and the flowing water. And whatever we do, whatever we're able to accomplish, it's by the grace of God and for His glory. This shows our trust in God. Not only for our material blessings, but also we need to ask, as God has blessed our life, have we truly been thankful in showing Him our appreciation? In your bulletin, there is a replica of our offering envelope. And the question is asked, if everyone in the church gave just as we do, would the church be better off or would it be worse? What a question to ask. I'm trying to help you to become the most blessed and successful people that you can possibly be. I'm here to say that 1/10 of everything that we own is already God's, and we're just stewards of it. And above that, what we would give would be an offering from a heart of love. It would be sacrifice. We show God that we're honest by giving the tenth. We show God that we love Him by giving above the tenth. And I don't preach many messages. I can't remember the last message I preached just on giving. But I want to keep you from getting sick. I want to keep you from dying prematurely. I want to keep you from lacking the blessings that God wants you to have in your life. I'm not asking you to give me money. I'm saying we need to give to the Lord what belongs to Him. Have I done my best for Jesus? I like what Lester Roloff used to say. He used to say this, don't wait till you're dead. He said, if you're giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. Amen. So take care of business, folks. And that's my message on giving, but that's not the end of the message today. I want you to know that God will continue to bless even when we don't deserve it. Even when we don't do what we ought to do, God will continue to bless. Young Timothy was on the receiving end of these letters from Paul. And in these letters, Paul says, I charge thee, I charge thee. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse number 17, charge them, he says, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The next time you come up a little bit short financially, You need to ask the question, to whom do I belong? Whose responsibility am I? Who said he'd take care of me? Who said he'd be my shepherd? Who said he'd lead me beside the still waters? Give me the pasture and give me the sustenance and the protection that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. No place in the Bible does it say the government is my shepherd. I'm standing here as a biblicist saying what I'm going to say. Do not accuse me of being political. I am not being political. I am apolitical. What I'm going to tell you right now is biblical. And here it is. No place in the Bible does it say the government is my shepherd. We should not depend upon the government. Listen to me. You should not depend upon your job. You should not depend upon your ability. Everything should be total 100% dependence upon God Almighty. He has given you a job and ability so that you can be in the place that you are, the job that you are, so He can fulfill His desire of having a Christian like you in that job. God put you in the place that you are because God needed a Christian where you are. God didn't put you where you are so you could make so much money or whatever it is that you're striving for in life. If you say, my goals are these, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, now, preacher, you're not preaching against money. Oh, no, it's a very handy thing. Comes in real handy now and then when you have to pay the light bill or the gas bill or when you have to put gas in the tank of your vehicle or when you have to pay some other bill. Comes in real handy, doesn't it? But that's not your purpose in living. And if it's anywhere near the top and you're a born-again believer, you need to reorder your thinking. We don't make money as an end. It's a means. Money is a great definer. Money will show you and others what you're made of. The lack of it. The lack of it can create such stress that people will say, we've got to work more. We've got to do more. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do your best. My dad always taught me it's a sin to do less than your best. That's why I'm preaching. For me to run for president would be a step down from what God called me to be and do. We are not dealing just with people's material lives. We are dealing with immortal souls. And my life is not mine to command. My life is Jesus Christ to command. He says, go here, go there, do this, stay here, go there, do this. Speak these words. Deal with these people. And when you do that, people will say the highest compliment that can be paid. The highest compliment that can be paid. They'll say, that's a woman of God. That's a man of God. That's a person who belongs to Jesus. I have no question who they belong to. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Charge them that are rich. Charge them. Charge them. You see, you go back a little ways in the chapter. You go back and you'll find that he is charging Timothy. He is charging Timothy. He's telling him, because the love of money is the root of all evil, because some covet after it. He says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, as every young man in that day, had other skills. If he had not preached, he could have done those in exchange for a living. He could have He could have done any number of things, I am sure. He exhibited so many skills in his particular skill set. But Timothy was not primarily interested in making a living. He was primarily interested in making a life. You and I, if we call ourselves Christians, it's not about making a living. It's about making a life. It's about letting Jesus be the Lord of all. It's about saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? So many people say, well, I'm so proud of my kids. I raised them up and they all did this and they all made this and they all accomplished that. What are they doing for the kingdom? What are they doing for Jesus Christ? What direction are they headed? Now, I'm not saying these things to be hurtful. I'm saying these things to help us to adjust our thinking and line it up with the Word of God. There is no higher calling than the calling, the high, holy, and heavenly calling of God to be and to do what He'd have us to be and do. You're saying we should raise our kids to serve God? Yes. 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 How large can I make the letters? Y-E-S. Yes. Raise them to serve God. To know God and serve God. You say, well, what if God doesn't call them to full-time vocational ministry? Then they will be the most spiritual, secular worker on the planet. Praise God, we need a bunch of those. Let me ask you a what if. What if you don't raise them to serve God? And what if God calls them to serve God? What will they say to you at the judgment seat of Christ? Mom? Dad? What gives? You thought that activity? You thought that class? You thought this was more important than serving Jesus? I'm trying to save you a world of heartache and regret, and it can start right here and right now. My parents are gone, but I want to say thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you. Some people who have known me have commented on occasion that I exhibit enough enthusiasm and expertise that I could have made a dollar or two in life. And that may or may not be true, and I couldn't care less. We've had plenty of those dollars go through our hands, and the problem with money going through your hands, your hands are too sticky, you hold on to too much. I'm glad for all of it. I wish there were more, and I'm not ashamed of it. If more would go through my hands, then more would go on to benevolent works and to the missions and to the ministries of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. We look forward to nothing more than giving it away. I'm looking at my sweetie right now because she's 110. She's 1,000,000% behind this preacher. I'm thankful today that God gave me her. And I don't know how to apologize for me being me, but I want to thank you. They say behind every great man is a whatever woman. I'm not a great man, but she's behind and she's there alongside and she's in my heart and she's in agreement with me. And the worst thing you can have is a divided home, divided over the subject of who we are, why we're here, where we came from, what we're supposed to be doing. If you're going to make a marriage, if you're going to make a life, you need to at least be agreed on God. You need to be agreed on the Bible. You need to have a philosophy of life. You need to be in agreement that it's not about what we can accumulate. It's not about how big and famous and popular and powerful we can be in this world, because it's all going to turn to dust. It's all going to burn in this world. I want somebody to come to Jesus. Want somebody to be mentored. Thank God for my Timothy. And all the Timothys God has given me through the years. My sweetie can probably rattle off a few names. But from coast to coast, north to south, across the world, on mission fields right now, Timothys that I've had the privilege of training, the only Bible college they went to, the only training they had in the local church, and they're there serving God. And it wasn't because of me. It was in spite of me. And I thank God. As I stand here today, all around the world, there are pulpits resounding and preachers preaching and teachers teaching and missionaries reaching the lost. like so many of them say, "Preacher, I can still hear your voice in my head and my heart. Can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. I wonder what it is that you have said and what I have said that people remember the most. I wonder what philosophies, I wonder what words are the ones that are ringing. Or is it making Jesus Christ real to a world that couldn't see otherwise unless the glorious gospel shone through? What is it with you? What is it with you today? What's the most important thing to you? If you put down your happiness, you're wrong. If you put down the happiness of your loved ones, you're wrong. There is something that's higher and holier than being happy and making people happy. The highest and holiest calling in this world is to make Jesus Christ known, to glorify Him, to live by His grace for His glory. From the time you pillow your head, you get up in the morning and you go through the day, it ought to be about Jesus. It ought to be about making Him known. It ought to be about showing people the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it ought to be. This entire sixth chapter of 1 Timothy is the Apostle Paul helping Timothy not to get off the tracks. He's talking about the chain of command, about servants under the yoke, counting their own masters worthy of all honor. One thing I learned, and I've taught my Timothys, and Brother Tyler, I'm going to say it again. You can't be a great leader until you become a great follower. You got to learn how to follow. You got to learn what the chain of command. Now, maybe somebody has been abusive and toxic in their authority over you, and they say, "You can follow the chain of command. Follow the chain of command." I'm talking about speaking the truth in love. I'm talking about showing life by example, living life by example. When I talk about praising God from whom all blessings flow, there are two ways that we show that we're praising God. You know what it is? Here it is. Living and giving. You give it back again. 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 Coach Murphy, I want to ask you a question. Were there people who gave to you, instilled in you, who invested in you? Do you sense a responsibility as you stand on the broad shoulders of those people that you now have the privilege to give it back to somebody else? And that would be true for every one of us. Somebody loved you. Somebody cared about you. Somebody took time with you. And they were standing on somebody's shoulders, and now you're standing on their shoulders. And it's our responsibility and high and holy privilege to give it back. Give it back. Give it back. When God saved me, He settled the business of my justification. I've got a home in heaven. My name is on, I don't know, I was saying recently, I don't know if my mansion is on Hallelujah Avenue or Boulevard or Golden Street or what it is, but somewhere there in glory, I got a mansion. And I don't know exactly what the address is, but I know I got one because the Bible says I do. And I want you to get this, because it's not about the mansion. It's not about the streets of gold. It's not about the gates of pearl. It's not about the walls of jasper. It's not about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles and the glory thereof. It's not about that. It's when we meet at the feet of Jesus and we're standing there. King Jesus is there and we want to thank Him. We take off that crown and we cast it at His feet. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And while we're throwing that crown at Jesus' feet, our attention's on Him. But a hand comes on your shoulder. You turn around and there's a soul that you led to Jesus. There's somebody that you cared about, nobody else cared about. They just kicked him to the curb. They just treated him like dirt instead of the creature that God made and the child of God when they got saved. And you took some time. You know how you spell love? T-I-M-E. Time, You say you love your kids, your grandkids. You say you love your neighbors. You say you love your family. Time. Invest. Pour into them what God has poured into you. It's all I can do. It's all I can do. I'm a rich man. Paul was rich. No, not in the things of this world, and neither am I. But Paul poured it all into Timothy and Titus and Silas. Said, what God has poured into me, I'm going to pour into you. And before we leave this planet, we want to pour into many others, those that would come after us, many Timothys and Timothettes, I guess. What God has blessed us with. Anything we're going to do, we've got to do it now. I was talking to the bus workers today. Famous verse in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Second part of that verse, as Solomon, now aged and quite cynical, looked at it, he realized that when you're in the casket, when you're in the ground, other than your influence, you can't reach up out of the ground and make things happen. You know when you can do it? Right now. Right now. See, I'm going to turn some things around. With my kids, with my grandkids, with my neighbors, with my coworkers, I'm going to turn some things around. I'm going to start pouring into other people. Pouring into other people. That's it. How can we praise God? By our living and by our giving. This is not a message about putting money in the offering plate. That's a side note. That's a small footnote, an asterisk at the bottom of the page. Because you see, people that are living that joyful life, and the joyful life is the giving life, that rejoicing life, that great life that wins, those people, they look for opportunities to give it back, 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 give it back. It's not, what can I keep? What can I hoard? How much can I accumulate? How much can I keep? How much can I keep? What a sin. If Jesus came back and millions of dollars sitting in church coffers had not been used to reach lost souls by missions, by buses, by Sunday school visitation and outreach. What a shame to stand before Jesus and hear that the account was so full and yet the souls were so few. That's wrong. That's wrong. That is wrong. There are churches today. There are institutions today that call themselves Christian, and they're richer than First National Bank. I'm rich. Not in dollars and cents. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. And I'm going to pass it along and pass it along and give it away. Give it away. I might give a few dollars on the way, but I'm going to give it away and give it away and give it away and give it away and invest and invest and invest. And all of you Timothys out there, I know you're watching. You're going to be watching later if you're in your own services right now. I thank God for you because as I poured it into you, the encouragement came back. Thank you. Thank you for calling me up when you're in trouble. One of my Timothys was going through it one time and said to another Timothy, what do I do? And they said, call Dad. And I got a phone call. I'm not their actual biological dad. Call Dad. We prayed about it. We talked about it. That's what Paul and Timothy are all about. That's what Moses and Joshua are all about. That's what Jesus and his disciples are all about. Passing it along, passing it along, passing it along. And that's what you and I can do. So where am I going to find it? Anywhere, anywhere, anywhere. If you'll pray today that God will give you a Timothy or a Timothette that you can mentor, they'll be your protege. If you'll pray today, I believe it won't be too many hours or days that'll pass before you have and know exactly who that individual is. And then pour everything God gives you into them. The thing about mentoring, it's different than just coaching or teaching. It's a combination of all of those different relationships, because what you do is you take that person from where they are You discern by the Spirit through the Word where they ought to be in each area of their life. And through the Word of God, you bring them on a cross until they reach that point and they become the individual and do the thing that God wants them to. Nothing better than that. What did you do in this life? I accumulated a large account. I had a great portfolio. I had a large home. I had many vehicles. Well, I had many people who admired me. I had lots of power. None of that's going to last. What did you do for Jesus? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. How many of you today are thankful for what God has done in your life and what He has provided for you in the spiritual realm? Raise your hand up. If you're thankful for eternal life, if you're thankful for blessings, if you're thankful for progress, for spiritual growth, amen. Put your hands down. Now, those of you that raised your hands and even didn't raise your hands, what are you doing with it today? How many of you, by the grace of God, because God has spoken to your heart, how many of you today will say, I am going to pray that God will give me someone or some individuals into whom I can pour these spiritual riches. Raise your hands up high. I'm going to pray that God will give me someone I can pour these spiritual riches into. Amen. Thank you. Put your hands down. Maybe kids, grandkids, maybe neighbors, maybe co-workers, maybe those that you minister to. But God will do it. As we pray, I'm going to ask that those that want to come down when we have the invitation, as you slip out and come down, have a word of prayer and then go back to your seat, just pray and ask God to help you to be sensitive, to know who that person or those persons are. And He will. He's going to help you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you would say, Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I'm on my way to heaven. But there's some things I need to pray about, some things I need to fix. Maybe you haven't been baptized. You'd like to be. You'd like to join the church. You'd like to get busy. You'd like to surrender for service. Come and tell me. I'd be glad to talk with you. There might be some here today who even say, I don't know for a fact that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I want to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you pray right now from your heart something like this? Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sins. I believe Jesus died to save me. Right now I receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. Please take away my sins and take me to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to come. Find your way down to the front, shake my hand and say, I prayed that prayer. I'll know what you mean. I'm so glad to show you how to live the Christian life and be a help to you. If you want to come and pray for others, you want to come and pray about that giving back, about being the mentor, then you come as we stand together and we sing Just As I Am without one plea, but that thy blood. Well, amen. I'm glad that we're... Are we on here today? We on? Hello? Hello? All right, there we are. Very good. I came to practice this morning, and God gave me a brand new chorus, and I would like you to listen. You'll recognize parts of it that are already famous, but this is a brand new chorus that goes with it. All right. He gives me strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength, He guides my way. He gives me strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength, He guides my way, day by day. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my father's wise bestow, man. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He guides my way. He gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He guides my way. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would hear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, He gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He guides my way, gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He guides my way. Day by day, He guides my way. Day by day, He guides my way. Day by day.